Glory to God. So we're talking about taking your place. This morning I want to talk about taking your place of authority. Taking your place of authority. And I want to read something from John Macmillan's book, The Authority of the Believer. He said, as a result of my studies, I concluded that we as a church have authority on the earth that we've never yet realized. Authority that we're not using. A few of us have barely gotten to the edge of that authority, but before Jesus comes again, there's going to be a whole company of believers who will rise up with the authority that is theirs. In other words, they'll take their place, and they will know what is theirs, and they will do the work that God intended that they should do. Another man of God said, I believe that we are the company, a prayer force that is rising up with the authority that is ours. So in the very beginning, what did God do? He made man in his image. He made man in his likeness. And he gave him dominion. He gave him authority over the earth to subdue it. Now, of course, we know because of Adam's treason, what did he do? He relinquished that authority. He relinquished that authority over to the devil. But then Jesus started out with a plan. Jesus started out with a plan. The plan of redemption. To go to the cross. To go to the grave. To go into hell itself. And work a perfect redemption for you and for me. I want to just tell you a little bit this morning that Jesus defeated Satan and all of his cohorts, and he obtained an eternal redemption for you and I. Amen. The scripture says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. In what? In his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. Glory to God. He disarmed Satan. He exposed him. He shattered him and he defeated him. He stripped him of all of his authority. And now we know that that rat is an eternally defeated foe. He is not just a loser, but he is the loser. He reduced them to nothing and stripped him of his authority. When Jesus did that, it was not a temporary redemption. It was an eternal redemption. In the book of Hebrews in chapter 9 and verse 12, go ahead and read it with me. Ready, read. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Thank God. One translation says, an everlasting release for us. Securing our permanent deliverance. Thank God for that. Jesus rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And in the book of Revelation 1:18, he says, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of hell and I have the keys of death. And then he handed over those keys to you. He handed over those keys to us. The enemy lost his keys. He still thinks he has them, but he doesn't have them. We have them. So when he rears up his ugly head and tries to tell you who's got the keys, just pull out your keys. The name of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb, the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit, and wave it at him and say, nah, you are a defeated foe, and Jesus is my Lord. Matthew 16, he said, and I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And so what do these keys represent today? The keys represent and symbolize authority and responsibility. He gave you the keys. Now he expects us to do something with the keys that he has given. The word bind and loose were common in Jewish language, referring to the authority to declare what is permitted and what is forbidden. Amen. Amen. Now remember, Jesus said this over in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power. Amen. That word power literally is authority. He said, behold, I give unto you authority to do what? To do what? To tread on serpents and scorpions. Serpents and scorpions are a type of devils, demons, and evil spirits. They're not supposed to be treading on you. You're supposed to be treading on them. I've given you power or authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. Read the rest with me. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Point to your neighbor and say, nothing in any way, in any fashion, or in any form is going to hurt you. Glory to God. Amen. You can't be hurt. The devil can't touch you. You belong to Christ. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. You are not your own. Your body belongs to Him. Hallelujah. And the Lord is for your body. And He is the healer of your body. And He is the healer of your mind. He is your quickener. Amen. So everything in the enemy's arsenal can't hurt you because you have authority. Take your place over all, raised up and far above. Jesus gave this authority to us, and it is something we didn't earn. It is something that we receive, and it is something that we use. It is not based on our performance, but it is based on our position in Christ. Amen. To take your place means to accept and to operate in your God-given position in Christ Jesus. You've been seated with Christ, not to be a spectator, but be a participator. Amen? I believe God's looking for some participators. I believe He's looking for a people that are all in, that will receive this authority and not just talk about it and not just praise God about it, but be doers of the authority that He has given us. Amen. Glory to God. Jesus said in Matthew 28, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Glory to God. All power, all authority has been given unto Him. But thank God, when He rose from the dead, He transferred that authority to the church. So Christ's authority has to be perpetuated through the body of Christ. And you are the body of Christ. One man of God said this many years ago, and I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll begin in verse 18. One man of God said this, the turning point in my life came when I prayed these prayers for myself more than 1,000 times. He said, I started by reading them aloud, beginning with the first chapter. I personalized the prayers by saying me wherever Paul said you. Amen. What he was talking about is those Pauline prayers, those prayers that Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. You know what belongs to the church at Ephesus belongs to the church in the Bay Area. And God's no respecter of persons. Do you believe that God answered Paul's prayers? Yes. Well, if He answered Paul's prayers, He'll answer your prayers. Yes. Amen. Because He's the same God. Yes. Yesterday, today, and forever. Now notice what the Apostle Paul prayed. And you can pray this prayer for yourself. I pray this prayer for you daily. I pray this prayer for my family daily. All of my loved ones. All of our members, all of our partners, all of our ministry friends, my personal family. I pray this for Brenda and myself daily. Amen. Amen. And you know what? It's working. You know, it's working for me today. And it's working for you today. Now, the Apostle Paul started out by saying, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Verse 18. That the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. Well, what does that word enlightened mean? That word enlightened there means flooded with light. Amen. When your eyes of your understanding, the eyes of your inner man are flooded with light, that means there's no darkness. That means that things that were unclear become clear. That means things that you didn't know and you needed to know, He will give you knowledge of. the eyes of your understanding. That's the eyes of your inner man, your spirit, being enlightened. Hallelujah. And when the eyes of our understanding are enlightened, we're going to know some things. We're going to know some things. We're going to know what is the hope of our calling. And I've been praying about that a lot lately. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are opening my eyes to understand, to fully see the hope of our calling. Amen. That's Brenda's calling and my calling as pastors and whatever else that calling incurs. The eyes of my understanding being enlightened. How many of you know that there's always more? Amen. There's always additions when you're faithful to God. And the hope of our calling doesn't necessarily mean leaving this church, but it means expanding. I believe that God's into expansion. The hope of your calling. What's the hope of your calling? You need to pray about it. That my eyes may see the hope of my calling. And then he goes on to say, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Thank God we have an inheritance. We're not a bunch of poor people, paupers, barely getting along, living on Grumble Alley. Amen. No. We have an inheritance in Christ Jesus. That we may know what is the inheritance, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And then thirdly, we're coming up on Easter Sunday. You could preach on this right now. And what is the exceeding greatness of your power to me, to us, because we believe. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. How many believers we got in the house today? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who to believe? Who according to the working of his mighty power when he raised Christ from the dead. Amen. And set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Notice the next verse. Just a little bit above. Just barely above. No, far above. Far above. Far above what? Far above all principality, all power, all might, and all dominion, and hallelujah, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come. Woo, glory to God. I'm not looking at a bunch of earthbound people. I'm looking at a people that have been raised up together and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus as heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So far above, far above, far above every demonic force and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet. Well, he's the head. We're the body. Last time I checked, the feet are in the body. Amen. If all things are under your feet, that means all things are under his feet. That means all things are under your feet.
Amen.
Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. If you got a message for the devil, put it on the sole of your foot. Amen. And do you some treading. Do you some walking on top of circumstance. Read verse 22 with me. I'm going to catch my breath. And hath put all things under his feet and given him to be the head over all things to the church. One translation says, for the benefit of the church. He did this for our benefit. Amen. Verse 23. Let's read it together. Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Do you see that more revelation will come to you as you are faithful to pray these prayers over your lives? You know what? Because there's a whole lot more. There's a whole lot more that God wants you to see. And this comes up in my heart. There's a whole lot more that God wants you to have. Amen. We are not the have-nots. We are the believers. And he that believeth hath. Glory to God. Now this revelation, just what I read to you, is a revelation of the authority of the believer. And this revelation will absolutely revolutionize your life. Because in 1 Corinthians 6:17, it says this, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Amen. You are one with Him, and He is one with you. So the message this morning is, take your place. Take your place. Take your place. Amen. In this little book, The Authority of the Believer, which I gave to hundreds of you last year, Macmillan says this. He says, let us morning by morning, as one of our first acts of worship, let us take our seat. That's like saying, take your place. Let us take our seat with Christ and return thanks to God for everything that it implies. Amen. He goes on to say, let us remind ourselves. Why would we need to remind ourselves? Because there's a lot of distractions out there. There's a lot of things that want to pull us away from the revelation of our seating and places in Christ Jesus. Let us remind ourselves that we are seated far above all the powers of the air, and that they are in subjection to us. The devil is subject to you. You are not subject to him. Amen. And he goes on to say, as our faith learns to use the name and the authority of Jesus, we shall find the spiritual forces yielding obedience in ways that will surprise us. As we continue to abide closely in him, our prayers for the advancement of the kingdom will become less and less the uttering of petitions and will increasingly manifest the exercise of spiritual authority that fearlessly binds the forces of darkness in any part of the world. And we can do this because we are seated. You want to do that right now? Just lift up a hand toward heaven and declare this kingdom of darkness. You listen to me. I hold the blood of Jesus over all things pertaining to my life, and I forbid you to have anything to do with it. All things pertaining to my loved ones, all things pertaining to my church, all things pertaining to my nation. And I forbid you to have anything to do with it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to pray for your nation. You know, whether you agree with the person that's in the White House or not, pray. I said pray. We need to be praying over the economy in the United States. We need to be praying over the social situation in the United States. We need to be binding. We need to be loosing. We need to take our place and our seat of authority and plead the blood of Jesus over our nation. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. And it is working. Say it with me, it is working. So in light of all this has been said, no wonder Romans 5:17 says this. Says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, that's Adam, much more, those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall just barely make it. No, those who receive. Remember, we started out this morning saying, this is my receiving day. Amen. Don't forget that. Say it again. This is my receiving day. So much more those who receive abundance of grace and what? And the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. Shall reign in life. The Amplified Version says, shall reign as kings in life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So God's plan for us then is that we rule and reign in life as kings. What does this mean? To rule and reign over circumstances. To rule and reign over poverty. To rule and reign over mental oppression. In anything and everything that would try to hinder us. We reign because we're taking our place. We're taking our place in authority. Somebody says, well, Pastor Mark, how then do I rule and reign? Well, one way that you can rule and reign is with your words. With your words. I learned this many years ago, that faith-filled words are a dominating force. That means this, that faith-filled words dominate the laws of sin and death. You see, the scripture says that death and life are in the power of the tongue.
Yeah, that's right.
We could say it this way, sickness and health are in the power of the tongue.
Amen.
We could say it this way, poverty and abundance are in the power of the tongue.
Amen.
You see, you have been given authority with your words. When you speak forth the word of God, what you're doing is you're taking your place in the authority of the believer. And you know, the good news is this, Jesus himself, he is the high priest of our confession. What does that mean, the high priest of our confession? That means that he's watching over his word that you are speaking here on earth from heaven. He is the sent one. He is the apostle and high priest of your confession. And he is watching over his word to bring it to pass and to perform it in your life. Oh, the men and women of God to get the revelation of faith-filled words. I want to encourage you to speak the word of God daily.
Amen.
When you get up in the morning, speak the word of God.
Yeah.
Start out by saying, thank God, this is the day that the Lord has made.
Yeah.
I will rejoice and I will be glad in it.
Yeah.
Say what the word of God says and you will have what the word of God says.
Yeah.
For the master himself has said, you can have what you say.
Amen.
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 Faith-filled words. Say that with me. Faith-filled words.
Amen.
Will dominate the laws of sin and death. I want to encourage you, give him something to work with. Give him something to work with. You know, thank God for what he's done for others. And we appreciate that. And the Bible says we should rejoice with those who rejoice. But you need to know this, that God's no respecter of persons. I better say that again. Some of you don't believe that. God is no respecter of persons. He is a respecter of faith. And you've been given the God kind of faith on the inside of you. What does that mean? A respecter of faith. He respects his word. And whoever returns his word to him, he will perform it on their behalf. Now, I'm not talking about living loose. I'm not talking about, you know, trying to get something from God when you're halfway in and halfway out. When you got 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in the world. No, no. Thank God he's looking for people that are all in and all out for him. See, he already went all in for you. He already went all out for you. What do you say we go all in? And we go all out for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. So how then do we rule? How then do we reign in life? Well, one way we rule and reign in life is through our words. Another way that we can rule and reign in life is through the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank God we've been given the name above every name, that at his name, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. So we rule and reign with the word. We rule and reign with the name. And then we rule and reign by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Glory to God. We overcome.
Yes.
We overcome.
Yes.
Amen. By what?
Amen.
By our good looks and our college education. We overcome by our 401k, our 403b. No, we don't overcome by those natural things. We overcome by faith in the blood.
Yes.
How many of you got faith in the blood today?
Hallelujah.
We overcome by faith in the blood of Jesus, but not just that, but by the word of our testimony.
Amen.
By the word of our testimony.
Yeah.
Amen. Did you know that the word testimony, part of the meaning of testimony is not just to give a good report, but testimony also means to do it. It means to do it. When you are testifying of the word of God, you're doing the word of God. You are declaring what the word of God says.
Amen.
Say with me, I'm ruling and reigning
in this life
through my words,
through my
through the name and through the blood of Jesus. I just dropped by to encourage you this morning. Some of you don't look too encouraged yet, but we'll just keep preaching a while. Amen. If you're happy and you know it, notify your face. If you're happy and you know it, shout amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. How many of you had a good night's rest last night? That's something to be thankful for. How many of you had a little coffee this morning? Or a little toast, or a little egg, or a little yogurt? That's something to be thankful for. Woo, glory to God. I'm happy in my heart. God wants you to be happy. Amen?
Amen.
So smile a while. Give your face a rest. Stop worrying about what happened last week. Stop worrying about what could happen this week. What happened? What's going to happen? No, no. God does not want us to live in the anxious zone. He wants us to live in the zone of peace. He wants us to live in the zone of rest. Amen. Yeah, but Pastor Mark, you don't know what I did last week. I'm thankful that I don't. You don't know what a mess I've been. You don't know all I've done. And you don't know the power of the blood of Jesus. Everyone said the blood, the blood, the blood. You ought to be slinging blood everywhere. The blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus, I'm sanctified. By the blood of Jesus, I'm made righteous. By the blood of Jesus, I'm healed. By the blood of Jesus, I'm free from condemnation. By the blood, by the blood, by the blood. Woo! Glory, glory, glory. Amen. You're part of the blood-bought church. You've been purchased by His own blood. You've been sanctified by His blood. You've been made right in His sight by His blood. There you go, 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 there you go. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, devil. Ha, ha, ha. He's an eternally whipped, defeated foe. Ha, ha, ha. Jesus said of him, I beheld Satan fall as lightning. Disciples came back with great joy because of the authority they were given. He said, boys, that's nothing. I beheld him fall from heaven as lightning.
Yeah, that's right.
What Jesus was saying, he ain't what he used to be.
Amen.
And you know what? Neither are you.
Amen.
You are not what you used to be. You are not who you used to be. You are now a new creation in Christ Jesus. You are now an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Someone says, Pastor Mark, why do you get so excited? I just can't help it. It's like fire shut up in my bones. Woo, glory to God. Amen. We're not dead. We are alive. Our God is not dead. He is alive.
Glory, glory to God. Hallelujah.
I know what it's like to be near death. I know what it's like to be on the way to hell. Oh, thank God. One day I gave my heart to Jesus, and now I know in whom I have believed. And I am fully persuaded of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords taking me home to be with Jesus. Ha, ha, ha. Laugh a while. Ha, 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 ha. Glory to God. 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 So rise up, sons of God. Rise up, heirs of God. And stop assisting the devil. And start resisting him. Stop submitting yourself to this world and submit yourself to your heavenly Father. And as you submit yourself to your heavenly Father, when you resist the devil, he will flee from you. He will run from you as in terror. Rise up, sons, rise up, daughters, and resist the enemy, for he is a defeated foe. Give him no place. Give him no place. Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to who? The devil. I said, neither give place to the devil. Amen. Amen. I love this phrase. Never let the enemy get comfortable on territory that doesn't belong to him. Should I say it again? Never let the devil get comfortable. He's a spiritual squatter. You know how those squatters do? They come into people's homes that don't belong to them and they just sit there. And they run a lot of damage in the house. He's a spiritual squatter. He don't belong in your home. He don't belong in your mind. He don't belong in your body.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. What you need to do is evict that ugly rat.
Hallelujah.
Evict him in the name of Jesus. Eviction notices. Amen. Eviction declarations. Never let the enemy get comfortable on territory that doesn't belong to him. Don't let him feel at home in a place that belongs to God. The Greek word for place there is topos, T-O-P-O-S. And it means a location, it means a room, or it means an opportunity. Here's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, don't let the enemy claim any space, physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually in your life. You evict him by exercising your authority. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and verse 9, let's read it together. You guys are doing good today. Verse 8, be sober. Hey, that's a word for some of you right there. That's right. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, he's not your friend. He's an adversary. The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I like what Keith Moore says. I'm a may not. I'm a may not. What does that mean? He may not devour me. Amen. By the way, pray for Brother Moore. He's going to Bulgaria on Tuesday. And then he's going over to the Netherlands following that meeting. Amen. And he has in his church what they call the go supply and the word supply. And we're thankful that we're able to sow $1,500 into the go supply to help them go.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. What does that mean? $1,500. That means everything that happens over there in Bulgaria and the Netherlands, we have a part of. Amen. Somebody said, oh man, I wish I could go. I wish I could go. You're going. You may not be going physically, but you're going spiritually. Amen. Woo, thank God for the rewards. Thank God for the blessings. So be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks around as a roaring lion seeking whom he devour. Now notice this next phrase. Read the first part of that verse. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. One translation says this. Whom resist him steadfastly with your faith. With your faith. Amen? I read something recently. It really ministered to me. I want to share it with you. Someone said this. That faith is the currency of authority. What does that mean? Faith is the currency that makes your God-given authority spendable in the spirit realm. What is currency? Currency is simply the medium of exchange in this system. And just like money is the medium to make transactions in the natural world, faith is the medium by which we access and operate in spiritual authority. It is the currency of the kingdom of God. Think about it. All that He has provided for you, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus must be activated with your faith.
Amen.
All the authority that He bought and paid for you must be activated, must be exercised, must be released by the authority of the believer.
Amen.
It is the currency of your authority. It is the currency of the kingdom of God. We could say it this way. No faith equals no power. Faith is like the switch that turns on the power of the authority that God has given to you. So what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying, so resist the enemy with your faith. It is currency well spent. How many of you are going to do that this week? How many of you just didn't hear the word of God this morning? Say with me, I am a doer. I'm a doer of the word of God. Take your place. Take your place of authority. Brother Hagin said this. He said, there's no place in the New Testament where any writer told the church to pray to God to do anything about the devil. He said, to pray to Jesus to rebuke the devil is a waste of time. And he said, the least member in the body of Christ has just as much power over the devil as anyone else. And then he said this, the believer, that's you. Point to yourself and say, that's me. He said, the believer who thoroughly understands that the power of God is backing him can exercise his authority, fearlessly face his enemy, and successfully overcome every attack.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Pastor Tom, amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Listen, the weapons of your warfare, they're not carnal.
Amen.
But the weapons of your warfare, that which we discussed a little earlier, the name, the word, the blood, the power of the Holy Spirit, the weapons of your warfare, they're not carnal. But these weapons are mighty. And they're mighty through God to the pulling down of any and every stronghold that comes against you. Amen. And I like how Brenda started the ministry out today. Praise pushes back the enemy. So I wonder if we could just stand up and shout a little bit, praise God a little bit, and give Him glory before we receive communion.